You're listening to Hottery Humble.
Welcome, welcome to episode 7 of the Hard to Be Humble podcast. I am your host, the humblest man on earth, Tommy Stickle. Thanks so much for listening. So what a win, guys. This was a fun weekend to be an Arkansas Razorback fan. We had a very entertaining, very engaging win versus Colorado State. Got to see one of the more memorable Razorback plays of the past few seasons in Cheyenne, or C.J. O'Grady's crazy touchdown catch where he evaded 5 Colorado State defenders, just bounced around and somehow snuck out of all the tackles and made just an amazing play, which was really fun to watch and one of those highlight reel plays we'll see for a long, long time to come. The game was just fun. It was a fun game. That C.J. O'Grady play, it was the type of play that I feel like Arkansas fans are used to seeing, but the other team doing against us. So that was just nice and neat to see. It was neat to see us being the recipient of a really neat play like that. That was awesome, of course. After the Hayden Henry forced fumble that we got the scoop and score, that just really turned the game on its head. It was tight up to that point, and it was just a fun, fun game. But let's jump straight into our Razorback X's and O's, the players we love on this podcast, Rakeem Boyd and Matteo Soli. Man, y'all know Rakeem Boyd. He was going to show out this game, and of course he did. Rakeem had 20 carries for a net gain of 122 yards and 2 TDs, one of which came off of a 59-yard draw play up the middle, just totally gashed Colorado State's defense, running straight up the middle. Probably my favorite play of the game because I'm rooting so hard for Rakeem Boyd. C.J. O'Grady's catch was awesome too, don't get me wrong. That'll be the memorable play from the game. But man, I loved seeing that run from Rakeem Boyd. Getting him just, he's got that gear where he can just outrun some dudes. And I love when we get to see him show off his wheels like that. Rakeem had an awesome day running the ball. Didn't catch any passes, but hey, that's okay. Plenty of other of our playmakers were catching passes as Nick Starkle kind of had his coming out party that game, which was awesome. We finally have what we feel like is our QB1. I feel like we can never know for sure, though. There's still part of me that's like, man, what if he comes out against San Jose State and throws 4 picks and gets benched? I doubt that happens, but from what I saw and what every Hog fan saw, we saw a leader, we saw a man who could control the offense, we saw a man who could make plays with correct timing and tempo. The offense just looked better than it ever has with Morris. And we could just tell that Nick Starkle is SEC talent versus everyone else that's been the quarterback for the Hogs under Chad Morris, not SEC talent. There is a stark difference in Nick Starkle that he is SEC caliber. And I can't put my finger on exactly what it is. You know, is it arm talent? Is it throwing the ball harder or better or more accurately? Is it timing, just getting the ball out at the right time? Is it decision making? I don't know if I can pinpoint to one exact thing, but one thing is clear: he's the guy, and he's our best bet, our best option for winning games. And I think all Hog fans are feeling really good about it. Now, I've seen a few extreme examples of people probably putting too much on Nick Starkle at the moment, thinking he's really one of our all-time greats after just having one great game, but maybe he ends up that way. I certainly hope so. I know that he reminded me more of a specific quarterback who is pretty legendary for the Razorbacks, and I guess it was just kind of more of his, the way he carried himself, maybe the way he moved the ball down the field. I don't know. Something about him kind of reminded me, kind of gave me the Ryan Mallett kind of feels. I know, obviously, he's not proven like Ryan Mallett or anything like that. I'm not trying to say he's to that level. He's not yet. But there's something about him that kind of reminds me of him, and I don't know what exactly is. I don't know if there's like a certain swagger that he has on the field. Maybe it's the way he gets the ball, releases the ball out of his hand. Maybe it's the timing. I can't put my finger on it, but there's just something there that kind of gives me that Ryan Mallett feeling. And hey, that's a pretty excellent feeling. I'll just say that. You know, if somebody can remind me of Ryan Mallett, that's pretty high praise. So we kind of threw Nick Starkle in there with a little bit of love in the Razorback XO part. But hey, we were not going to forget about Matteo Soli, who played a lot of snaps this game. Unfortunately, Matteo wasn't able to accumulate a lot of stats on the stat sheet, but he still got to have a lot of really good experience in playing time, and that's always what matters. And as we see with the defense, a lot of statistics can sometimes be dependent on the way the opposing offense attacks the defense and different things like that. So not having a ton of stats doesn't always mean that a player, defensive player, didn't play well. They might have been avoiding that player. But Matteo ended the day with one assisted tackle, and he also had a QB hurry. And that assisted tackle was a tackle for loss. And you know, I'm sure Matteo left some plays out there on the field that he wished he could have back. And, you know, we still love and support Matteo fully. And I know that he's got more games this year to play and a lot of time left. And we'll see if he can really break out with some really excellent games. I'm excited for him to get his first sack. I'm sure that's coming. I'm sure it's coming. We'll give it some time. We love Rakim, love Matteo. And, of course, you know, we're not including Nick Starkle yet into the segment. But, man, gotta at least mention him because he showed up big time in this game and Hog fans are going wild for Nick Starkle. Another group of guys I wanted to mention as well from the game was our O-line. And I know it's the much maligned O-line. You know, I feel like for the past, oh goodness, probably three or four seasons, I feel like ever since Sam Pittman left, the O-line has been something that we've pointed to as the weak link on the team or the part of the team that's failing us the most or one of the reasons we are not winning games, if not the main reason, is the O-line. And I think that it's going to take a while of really good O-line play for our fan base to kind of move away from that and kind of put an end to that storyline. But we had a couple guys this last game make some big strides in their play and make a big impact. One guy that I'll call out first is our center, Ty Clary, who in the game against Ole Miss was much maligned for his slow snap, but seems like he's got that worked out. I don't think I noticed one play that was an issue in the Colorado State game. So I feel like he's the type of guy that is very coachable and will correct his mistakes when they're found. And, you know, snapping the ball seems like it should be something you can work on and improve kind of pretty quickly. So I think we saw an improvement there. But the reason I'm calling out Ty Clary is he actually got really high praise today and was named Pro Football Focus's best player in the nation in week 3 for his position, the best center in the nation. He graded out really high in run blocking specifically. And you can see he on Rakim Boyd's 59-yard play, he had a huge block that kind of opened that up and got that touchdown. So Ty Clary, best center in the nation for this week. Pretty cool stuff. And another offensive lineman to call out is Ricky Stromberg, who was a true freshman starting in the O-line primarily due to some injuries, but really making a name for himself. He's basically worked his way into a position that the coaches can't keep him off the field anymore. He's shown that good. He's a little bit undersized in weight, which is kind of the crazy thing, but coaches are already calling him kind of a Yelda Froholt, if you remember him from last year and previous years, clone of Yelda. He wears the same number, but I think the part that reminds them the most is his tenacity and his motor and his engine that he plays with. And Ricky was actually the number one graded player for Pro Football Focus grades for pass protection on the offensive line this past game. And you can just tell that Ricky Stromberg is a name that we're going to be saying a lot going forward. True freshman. One of Arkansas's best media members, Nikki Chavanel, tweeted out recently a tweet about about Ricky, and she said this: Arkansas's right guard, Ricky Stromberg, is one of only three true freshmen starting on SEC offensive lines. The other were both rated five-star prospects before signing with Texas A&M and Alabama. Stromberg's was the highest-graded pass protector on Saturday, and he's just 277 pounds. So one could read that and think, wow, that doesn't sound great that Ricky Stromberg is, you know, one of the only three true freshmen starting on an SEC offensive line. Maybe that doesn't bode well for us. But I really don't think that is the case with Ricky. I remember when he committed to us, he kind of came out of nowhere, I felt like, and didn't have much buzz about him. But I could tell that the support that he had around him, meaning his family, was really incredible. In fact, I don't know if you remember, but John Elway tweeted a congrats tweet to Ricky when he signed with Arkansas. And I'm sorry, but I don't think if you're in John Elway's shoes, you would just throw that out there for just a random player. It kind of made me realize that Ricky's got something. You know, whether John actually knows Ricky's talents or not, I'm not sure. But there's at least family ties there. And maybe there is something that John saw in Ricky. But I think that when somebody comes from a good family lineage, you just get that leg up on a lot of other players. And I think Ricky is going to show and be one of our is going to prove to be a guy we hear named a lot in the future and kind of a cornerstone of our offensive line going forward. So we'll all be rooting for you, Ricky. Keep it up, man. Keep blowing some dudes off the ball. I also wanted to get to a text message that I got from one of our frequent users of the podcast's phone number, which is 615-392-0107. Again, you can text, call that number, leave a voicemail anytime you want. Let me know your thoughts, feelings, what reactions to what's going on with the Razorbacks, if you're feeling high, if you're feeling low, if you're just annoyed by all these crazy fans, if you're loving everything going on with the program. Hey, feel free to text, call anytime, and get yourself heard on the show. But I'll read a text message that I received from Andy in Memphis, a frequent texter. He said, after 24 hours to think about the game, here are my thoughts. I think the game turned much like last season when, with prodding from the crowd and being reminded of what happened last year when Chad didn't go for it on first down, we went for it on 4th and 1. Now, we ended up having a false start and having to punt anyway, but at least Chad showed some backbone and confidence in his team this year. Still don't know how in the world Hicks ever started a game here. Play calling still needs to be improved. Overall, I give the game a B-. Chad's best game as a coach. Now, I think that was an interesting way to end that in that text. Was this Chad's best game as a coach? I think it is. I mean, I guess we had a shutout against Tulsa last year. I think it was 23-0, but that didn't feel special or anything. And then that first game that we played, I don't even ever remember the opponent. I think I brought up that game a few times. But, you know, it didn't feel that special either. This win feels kind of special. And I do think it was his best that we've seen. Play calling could be better. Oh, yeah. I mean, it always could be. It'll be interesting to see with Starkle as the guy how that changes in the future, if at all. In the postgame pressers, they kind of mentioned keeping it simpler than before with Nick Starkle in the game. I don't know if that just means no Wildcat. I hope that that's not what they meant, because if that's what they mean, they're still crazy. But apparently they kept it relatively simple for Starkle to know the routes and to know the timing and call plays that he was comfortable with. But I guarantee the more he's in it, the more diverse play calling we'll see. But could it be better? Sure. I still haven't seen anything that I've been ultra impressed with the play calling, but that 4th and 1 was really interesting, where he called on the punt team and then got a lot of boos and then called a timeout and then came back with the offense on the field. And he addressed that in the post-game press conference, and Morris said that when his offense came off the field and as the punt team was going on, he said that he saw it in the offense's eyes and felt how much they wanted to go for it. and decided after he saw them that he would change his mind coming out of the timeout. And, you know, of course, we know that they had a false start. I believe it was actually Ricky Stromberg, if I'm not mistaken, the guy I just spoke so highly of. You know, we ended up having to punt anyways, but it still was kind of, it was an interesting moment of the game. And, you know, if he saw it in the players' eyes, they still didn't convert it. So I guess that's not a good thing. Either way, I don't necessarily think it looks good on Morris. It almost feels a little bit indecisive, and I know other coaches do it too. But great text, Andy. Thanks for texting in. And like I said, everyone feel free to as well, and get yourself heard on the show. And now let's move to our weekly Call with Chad. Please enjoy.
Hello.
Chad, what's going on, man? How's it going?
Hey, Tommy Stickle. I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. How have you been since the last time we talked?
We got a W. That's all I asked. I feel like last time we left this podcast, all I asked for was a W, so we got that.
Indeed.
So I'm feeling pretty good.
Good, good. So what are some of your initial reactions from the win? I've certainly seen what's online, and it's a bit extreme, but what are you thinking?
I feel like there's both extremes out there. There's the very optimistic extreme of, you know, we're going bowling, to the other extreme of we're the worst team in college football. I feel like there's a middle ground. And I feel like the middle ground is, yes, we were with like, 10, 11 minutes left in the game. It was tied, and I feel like we didn't have momentum in the game. So just like tapering some of the excitement, but at the same time, we haven't seen a fourth quarter performance like this out of a Razorback team in a long time. And yes, I know it's Colorado State, but at the same time, like, you know, you gotta feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, I agree. I do feel like it kind of reversed some scripts that we've seen play out way too many games, which is nice to see. I agree with you, though. I think that it's interesting to see the extreme reactions to it. You know, you have some who really think we're a good team now because of that performance, and we aren't a good team. Like, no. not even close to a good team. Nope. I would probably say we're an okay team with Starkle. I think we're going to have some really plays that are at least going to get us excited and engaged, and then we're going to have plays that really let us down, and we're going to lose some games that are going to tick some people off, I guarantee.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's pretty funny, I think. But then again, I also don't really like the people who always want to critique everybody. Like, let's critique the fan who's so excited about, you know, the win and stuff. What did you think of the club dub after the win?
I mean, the players celebrating. I get it. Like, that was an emotional game, and I feel like the Ole Miss game was emotional. They put a lot of, I mean, they put their blood, sweat, and tears out there, and I feel like they have every right to go celebrate. Like, Chad going in there and doing that. Like, okay, like I had a hard time, Tommy. I had a hard time because he's over there like acting like we just beat Bama. Like, you know. I understand, let's get excited. The players, I'm sure, loved it with him being in there. But at the same time, have some composure. You know, that's my only critique. Is would Nick Saban be doing that?
No.
And I'm not trying to compare Chad Morris to Nick Saban. But at the same time, like, come on. You know, it's Colorado State.
I know what you mean. I think that some people just prefer their leaders act different than that. I think it's just a personal preference of leadership. I know some people would have their coach be stone cold. If he just won the biggest game of his life, they'd be happy to see him have zero emotion on his face, you know? And then others are really cool with the, you know, super emotional, happy dance with a bunch of you know, college kids in a locker room after beating a team that historically has been much worse than you, kind of. Anyways, I guess, you know, it is what it is. I liked it. I was happy for them, whatever. But it's funny.
Win number four. Like, you matched your win total from last year. If
we
had just won a bowl game against a bad team, I mean, they would be okay with that celebration afterwards. But, like, yeah, I get what you're saying, but I'm not on board.
I hadn't thought about the matching the win total from last year. that's interesting. Yeah, I guess, hey, the club dub is a rare thing. So, All right. Well, let's get into a segment that we've kind of prepared a little bit for. Chad and I decided that we wanted to do a word association game to start out our call with this week. So I don't know if you want to go first or second, Chad. Do you have a preference?
Let's let you set the standard here, Tom, and let me say the words. And now the name of the game here, Tommy, as you know, is speed. Like, we're all about speed here. Zero thinking, all reaction, just what's in your heart. I don't care what's in your mind. I want to know what's in your heart as soon as I say a word or phrase.
Okay.
You respond with a word or phrase. I'll even accept a phrase.
Okay. My eyes will be closed. I will respond to words that you say. I would encourage others to somehow do this along with me if possible. I don't even think that's possible. But if you can do it simultaneously, shout out where you're at in the world when you hear these words so that other people can think you're crazy. But I will do my best to off the cuff, as they say, just spout out what comes to my mind. Do we have any rules or regulations about it? Can it be literally anything in the whole entire world? Anything that pops into
my
this little crazy brain
of
mine?
My list is very open for creativity. So there is no rules. It's just the first thing that comes to your mind. It could be, and not all of these are sports related, mind you.
I'm scared.
And so
my mind can be a scary place sometimes.
I feel like we need some like music too to go through this.
Okay, I'll figure out something, you know, in the post production for sure.
Oh yeah. 98% of this podcast is all you. So props to you.
No, I couldn't do it without you. Okay. All right. I hope I'm ready. I'm gonna try to go as fast as I don't think so, but let's just do it.
Eyes closed. Hammer down.
Chad Morris.
Ben Hicks.
Loser.
CrossFit.
Meathead.
LeBron James.
The King.
Apple Pie.
I thought of American Pie, the movie, the scene. It was a visual, and I tried to keep this thing pretty PG, so we'll just leave it at that. If you know, you know. If you don't, you don't.
Okay, this is going to tell a lot about you, Tommy, this next one. Oh, chicken sandwich.
Chick-fil-A. Just had one tonight. We had it for dinner.
Arkansas football.
Dump. Oh, that was the first thing.
Anthracite uniforms.
The first thing that came to my mind was gray, which isn't exciting at all. But that's all I got.
Worst kids movie of all time.
The first thing that came to my mind wasn't even a kids movie. It was the TV show Breaking Bad, and I don't know why, but I'm spouting it out. So that Breaking Bad's probably the best TV show ever. But then again, it would be a terrible TV show for a kid to watch. So I'm going Breaking Bad because I said it.
All right. Best kids movie of all time.
This isn't even what I believe, but it came to my mind. Space Jam. That's what I thought. You suckered me into it. I couldn't help it. Chad, I know you love Space Jam. I know it's your favorite thing, and I think it subliminally is just sitting in the back of my mind, so I can't.
That makes me so happy. I feel like I had some kind of influence on that. Yes, absolutely. I own a Toon Squad Michael Jordan jersey, and so does my son. Okay, I've got five left, nice. So give me some better reaction. Applebee's.
Neighborhood corner. I don't think that's the right slogan.
Grocery store.
Walmart.
Yes, Reggie Fish.
Oh, I almost said loser again, but I've already said it. Just
that's fine.
The worst.
Gus Malzahn.
Control freak. And I say that because I just recently watched The Identity Theft of Mitch Mustaine, and that was one of the things I believe Mike Irwin said on that documentary, I guess is what it is. He said, you know, he would put any control freak to shame. So now when I think of Gus Malzahn, I think of a control freak and probably one of the people I would like being around the least in the world.
Last and certainly not least, Nolan Richardson.
I'm going to say it because it came to my mind. Racism. That's the word that came to my mind because that's how it all ended. Seriously. You know, he was a great coach, and I think very, very highly of him, and a dude that the best word to describe him is fighter. That's the word for him. But racism came to mind. But,
a lot of controversy at the end of his tenure.
A better word would be fighter. That dude's the scrappiest person ever.
When I hear him on the radio talking, I get so fired up. Like, I just get so excited. I feel like he could talk me into doing, you know, just about anything.
Yeah, I like that the court is named after him. I think that's a really neat thing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we have a statue of him yet, do we?
It's coming. It's got to.
I would be very excited for a statue of him out front. And, you know, he just means a lot, I would say. It's not necessarily all about wins and losses and look at his full career and all that stuff. It's like that guy did something really important, and I think we need to give him due credit for that.
Absolutely. That was fun. Awesome. I'm excited and terrified about mine.
All right. So I think, knowing you like I do, I could probably predict a few of these. But my word association game, I want you to try to name a person. So that's the rules. And hopefully in the sports world, you know, it can be any sport. Hockey, basketball, baseball, football, college, pro, amateur, I don't care. But it also can be outside of that. That's okay. If you think the first person that comes to your mind is outside of sports. But I at least want to make them people. So we'll try to make this fun. Are you ready?
Oh, ready.
All right. I think I got about 15, so buckle your seatbelt, buddy. Maybe 16. All right, the first word, beast.
Oh, man, this is harder than it looks. The first name that came to mind is Brian Urlacher. I have no idea why. Brian Urlacher.
That's awesome.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. That is hilarious. Next one, unicorn.
Michael Jordan.
Okay, unicorn.
Never going to see him again.
That's right. Superstar.
LeBron James.
Good looking.
Garoppolo, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Great. Overrated.
Ben Hicks.
Oh. Underdog.
LeVar Ball.
LeVar Ball. All right. Sure. Genius.
Oh my goodness. Jason Kidd.
Okay. Jason Kidd. Who would have known? Teacher's pet.
Teacher's pet. Oh my goodness. DJ Williams popped in my head. No clue why.
Okay.
Reason why. DJ Williams, teacher's pet.
There it
is. Seems like one.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. All right, next word, diva.
Nick Saban was first thing that popped in my head.
Okay, Nick Saban it is. Soft.
Goodness, Ja'Cory Williams.
All right, poor Ja'Cory listening like, what the heck? Bigfoot.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Nice, okay, good. Cheater.
Ooh, Tom Brady.
Ooh. Loser.
Ben Hicks keeps popping in my head. I don't have anything against Ben Hicks. I don't know why. He's just like top of mind.
He's an easy target right now, man. Poor Ben Hicks.
Ben Hicks again.
What if Ben Hicks listens to this?
I'm sure he's a really nice guy.
I'm sure he is too.
I mean, Karl Malone after that, though. He lost a lot of championships.
Karl Malone. The mailman. What a lame nickname. all right. Three more. Doofus.
Detlef Schrempf.
Who?
The Supersonics player with the mullet. Detlef Schrempf.
I don't even know who that is, so that shows how little I know. But Google it sounds...
These are a lot of very basketball-rich answers here.
I feel like basketball has the best... I'm almost a clientele. I'm going to go with that word for these words. Fake.
Fake. Michael Sanchez.
All right. Very good. And finally... Arkansas.
Darren McFadden.
Right. That one, I was throwing that one at the end there, and I was like, it'll be interesting. Hopefully you didn't see it coming. And, you know, I wanted to get your true answer. It could have been interesting, but I think you chose the most popular one there. So that's
I thought acceptable. About it more. Be Corliss Williamson, like Darren McFadden, just pops right in my head. I feel we'll get better at this. We weren't very good. I feel like that was like a. It was like a 5 out of 10, like on us. We're better at that.
Everything we do tends to be 5 out of 10, at least 5.5. If we're a 5.5 out of 10, that's good enough for me.
Let's shoot for 6. Let's get bowl eligible.
All right. There we go. Yeah. As the football team gets better, so shall we progress.
It was really hard.
It's harder than you think, you know, coming up with something, but as long as you just go with what pops into your head, I mean, even if it's wrong, it's right. So
Breaking Bad
for the worst kids. Did you say TV show or movie? I don't even remember.
Kids movie of all time.
Kids movie. Worst is Breaking Bad. I mean, there's probably some worse kids movies out there, but I wouldn't let my kid watch Breaking Bad. That's for sure.
No.
Let's talk a little bit about Nick Starkel and his nickname. What do you think about all this nickname stuff? Have you seen it floating around?
Is this the Bieber stuff, or is this a different nickname?
People are trying to already crown him with a nickname, and I'm kind of against it at this point. I've seen a lot of stuff, and I'm like, people are just trying to push it a little bit too hard, in my opinion. Have you heard any of them?
No, I guess I'm out of the loop. First of all, Ryan Mallett and Tyler Wilson, neither one of them had nicknames, so like, one game, let's pump the brakes a little bit.
That's a great point. Why in the world are we making him have to have a nickname?
Yeah. I don't even think we have many players who had – nicknames I can think of: D-Mac, Benny Baseball. I mean, do we have any more nicknames? Big Nasty.
Rakeem Boyd, he goes by The Dream because of Netflix. You know, that was kind of a thing. So I'm good with sticking with that.
Corliss was Big Nasty.
Big Nasty. Oh, such a good name.
But like, you got to be somebody to, I don't know. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, So I think some nicknames I've heard are like Sparkle, Starkle. Lame. Starkinsaw was one I saw. Saint Nick was one because he had the crosses on his cheeks. I was kind of a fan of that, of what I've heard, just because of the look he had during the game. Kind of looked a little extreme with his eye paint there. But yeah, people are trying really hard to push that.
Thumbs down.
Tony Starkle, I saw that one as well. Let's just stop. I agree. You know, let them earn it. It'll come to us when it happens. You know, it's like the what was the Hunter Henry heave? You know, that play. It kind of has a few nicknames now circulating around. So you got to give things time to kind of develop its own persona. So Starkle will get there. I was just curious if you had any thoughts yet about it.
No, I mean, way too soon. You got to know. Like, we just don't know what kind of player he is. Like, what he's known for. You know, Corliss was Big Nasty because, like, Corliss was nasty down low. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. He doesn't have an identity yet. He's had one average game. So,
yep. Three touchdowns, over 300 yards. You know, that's a good game for a QB in college. I'm like, yeah, he had a good game. Great. Against Colorado State.
Yeah, okay. Like, here's his chance, Tommy, and I'm excited way too soon to be talking about this, but I guess not way too soon. We're playing A&M, right, in a couple weeks. I don't want to overlook San Jose because then we could lose. I'm not saying that. But I feel like, how many times has an Arkansas player or a recruit that we were supposed to get, or someone we did have and left, and then came back and played Arkansas and just destroyed us?
Every time.
Oh, my goodness.
When does it not happen?
So, like, we're due one, and I'm really, really excited to, like, can Starkle just go off on A&M and just, like, we get that feeling?
Ooh.
I don't know. Am I crazy?
That would be so good if Rakeem Boyd and Starkle just kind of
in tandem.
Yeah. I mean, he got kicked off the team, I think. But, yeah, that could be sweet. I mean, that's going to be the storyline. It feels like it's not going to happen, but
my gut
it could
says,
happen.
But hey, a lot of people said Ty Story was going to go to Western and destroy us with them. So, like, probably not happening, but
that probably will happen. That's where I'm at.
I give that scenario playing out 20% chance, but anyway,
20%. I like that.
Like, that's his chance to like get a nickname, you know? Like,
yes,
we go get our big conference win against A&M, who we haven't beaten in, I can't remember the last time. And so that would be huge.
I agree.
That's all I've got to say about his weak nicknames.
I agree. When I have thought in my mind about a nickname, haven't come up with anything good, but the song, I don't even know what the song's called. I think it's called Star Boy. I don't know who sings it, but it's the one that goes, I'm a star boy. That comes into my mind when I think of Nick Starkle. So if he had a theme song, I would give him Star Boy. So there you go.
Yeah, and it's like, it's something like Jeremy Sprinkle. Like when Sprinkle would score, you like sprinkle me, you know, like, yeah, you get it. Like, that's fun. Saying Starkinsaw, it's fun like once or twice, but then you feel kind of dumb.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, I feel like last week we kind of stumbled onto something that I kind of liked. So we're gonna bring it back this week, and maybe we'll continue doing it. We'll just see how it goes. If we're liking it, we'll go with it. If we want to trash it, we'll trash it. That's how this podcast goes. So last week we had a Chad to Chad moment because we all know that, you know, Chads have a bond. The name Chad, if you're named Chad, you just have something with Chads. I don't know. That's the best way I could phrase it. So we're gonna give Chad another opportunity this week to have a Chad to Chad chat. Chad to Chad chat.
Chad to Chad. Chad to chat.
And I'm just going to leave it at that. Hopefully, Chad, you thought about what you'd want to say to Coach. I believe that you typically, at least last week, it was a fireside chat. I think this week we'll probably go with the similar environment, but you let me know if that changes. But I'm just going to leave it to you.
It's very similar, Tom. The first thing that popped in my mind, and I'm picturing myself with Chad. I'm in a cave, and it's very dark. I don't know why, but we are in a cave, and it's very dark, and it's time to get serious. So here we go. Chad, nice. Chad, sit down. I know it's hard to see. It's dark in here. It's me again. It's Chad. I feel like my motivational talk worked last week. Obviously, we got a W. So I feel like we need to have this talk again. We got the win last week. We talked about it. We cut the nonsense out. You got rid of the wild hog. Great job, Chad. Great job watching film after the seventh time against Portland State or against Ole Miss. You figured out the wild hog is not going to work with our personnel. So thank you, Chad, for doing that. So let's get serious here. We didn't beat Mississippi State. We didn't beat Alabama. Stop dancing in the locker room. This isn't a club. This isn't Club Dub. No one else does that. Stop doing that. It's embarrassing. Take off your red Jordans and your game changers and your fancy clothes. Stop it. Stop dancing. It's embarrassing. Let's get serious here. We have a non-conference opponent. Let's not get flashy. Let's get down. Let's get down and get started with some reps. Let's get a lot of points. Let's score 100 points on them. And let's not look back. Let's not look towards Texas A&M. Let's get serious here, Chad. I feel like I'm losing you right now. I feel like we don't have a lot of motivation right now. It's gonna be simple. I don't need to say much. Let's go out there and repeat it. Don't mess up. Let's get a W and let's move on to A&M. That's all I got for you this week, Chad. It's a little weak, I understand. We'll be back ready for conference play. That's all I got, Tom.
Nice, nice. I like it. And I think that'll get Chad pumped up if he hears it. Let's hope he does. By the way,
he's listening.
I think so. I looked this up. Do you know how much we are paying San Jose State this week to come play us?
My guess would be $500,000.
Incorrect. Add a million to that. $1.5 million.
Yikes.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked by that. I think if I was reading it all correctly, I think we might be the top this week, the second to most like paying a team out of all. I think Bama's paying someone like $1.8 million this week to play them.
But it makes sense for Bama to pay that, but not for Arkansas to pay that amount of money.
I know it feels
a little better deal.
A little bloat. Yeah, it feels a little bloated, but at least they're terrible.
Who's negotiating that?
That's a great question. Do the ADs do that? You assume so, but that's a lot of money. $1.5 million?
I feel like I could have shaved off at least $700,000. I could have, you know, earned, just pocketed that as my salary.
Yeah, that's a great point. That
pitch myself for that.
That's a good. Well, I guess we can look at it this way. Technically, Michigan is paying us $2 million this year to not play them. So that's kind of nice because they backed out of their game. So I guess that kind of evens things out a bit. So
just go and blow it somewhere else, though.
I know, blowing it on San Jose State. At least we made our money against Colorado State worth it. That's for sure. I think we paid them something like $500,000. I can double check that, but I think it wasn't quite as extreme, which is good. Well, all right, Chad, I've got bad news to report.
Okay, was my spread picks not very good?
No, you went 0 for 5. Some were kind of some were close.
That's not true.
That's definitely true. Some were close, but ultimately you were 0 for 5. I was kind of disappointed in going through it. They nailed the Iowa game. They had Iowa at -1. Perfect. Let's see. Yeah, it just wasn't your week, man. That's okay. The bottom line. So for the season so far, you're 1 for 13. You've won 1, lost 13, and you tied 1, and 1 was a push. So I got another slate this week. Maybe we can move on to a different format for this.
Okay,
for this, in week
probably for the best,
whatever the week is after this week. I think it's week 5 next week. So if this one goes south again, let's rethink it. Maybe move on to something exciting or interesting.
Okay.
Well, it'll involve something like this. But so far, I think so far the computers win. You know, Vegas wins over you. But hey, if you make a comeback this week, we'll see. And you can. It's possible. I say I say if you beat Vegas, you got to win 3 this week. You got to win 3.
Ooh, okay.
So if I see you win 3, we'll keep it going. So let's jump in. All right. Got I like the format of a couple big games and a couple of just small games. So we'll go with a big game to start out with. Auburn at Texas A&M. Auburn is ranked 8. Texas A&M is ranked 17th. The game is at 2:30.
Okay. All right. 2:30 kickoff at A&M. Give me Auburn -10, Tommy. Auburn -10. Feeling good.
Very interesting and good. You know, it's hard to say now if it's better to differ from Vegas or not. Because last week you were pretty spot on with Vegas, but they were just a little bit better everywhere, which is the sad part. They were on the right side of all the stuff. But Vegas has a Texas A&M at -3.5 points. So you're going the opposite. So we'll see if that pays off for you. Right now, the ESPN predictor thing has Texas A&M at 53.7% winning. So I think it's a toss-up game. You know,
A&M 3.5, is that what you said?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's count it. Put that one in the bag.
In the bank. All right. Next game. So this one is a little less interesting on a national scale, but I do think it's interesting for Arkansas fans. Toledo at Colorado State. Colorado State, the team we just beat. I will give
Colorado
you
Colorado State minus.
Hang on 1 second. Hang on. So Toledo is one. I'm going to give you the how much they've won because these are small teams. You might not know. So Toledo is 1-1. Colorado State is 1-2. They've lost 2 games. Game is at 9:15.
Whew. Yeah, Colorado State, give me -17. Blowout.
Yikes. This is interesting. So Toledo is favored. Toledo -9. And Toledo for on the road. And Toledo has a 69.6% chance to win.
Nah, that
according
doesn't
to ESPN. It doesn't.
Hey, did I not get the Portland State game last week?
You did not. Let me see. I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, Portland State at Boise State, they won by 35 points.
Yeah, I called it a Boise State blowout, didn't I?
Yes. So the line was Boise State -31.5. You were -40. So technically they were 3.5 away from the spread and you were 5. So it was close.
Okay.
That one was a close one. But
feel good about that one.
I know. Okay. It was good, you know, in the grand scheme of things, but not good enough is the bottom line. you could probably beat me. Maybe. Well, I know I see the line, so I can't do it against myself.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So let's see here. Next game, big game, probably the biggest game of the weekend. There's some good games this weekend, guys. So tune in. Notre Dame, ranked number 7, at Georgia, ranked number 3. 7 p.m. kickoff, prime time.
Georgia minus 14. It's not going to be close.
Okay. I don't think you've done this yet. So, to give you better chance of winning, you actually nailed it. You nailed. Yes. Vegas is at negative 14. So, we can either call it a push, which is fine, or give you the chance to get to 3 wins, but you might want to take the push at this time. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, I guess do you want to alter it to negative 13 or negative 15 just to beat Vegas one way or the other?
I think it's gonna be, give me 15 then. I think it's gonna be bigger than.
Okay.
My goal is to go bigger than what Vegas was. But,
all right. Geez. And right now Georgia has a 67.3% chance of winning, according to the ESPN thing. I needed to figure out football ranking. I don't know what it is. All right, next game. This one seems interesting to me. Cal, who's ranked number 23 in the nation, at Ole Miss. Game starts at 11 in the morning.
Ugh. Cal, minus 20.
Ooh, big, big blowout there. right now the line is Ole Miss negative 2.5. So you're definitely you nailed the Georgia line, but the other ones you've been pretty far off. So I like it. Let's see if this pays off for you. From what I saw from Cal, I think Cal has a good defensive coordinator or something. I saw today like that the people are calling that he should probably be getting a head coaching job. So we'll see.
Ole Miss stinks.
They should. Yes, they do. They should be very bad. Cal should beat them. All right, last game of the week. Just a huge game. Central Arkansas, the 3-0 Central Arkansas at Hawaii, who's 2-1. And this, I didn't write down the time. Oops. It's late. It's like 11, I think, like 11 p.m. or something, 10:55 kickoff.
Give me Hawaii minus 21.
All right. Vegas had Hawaii minus 15.5. The ESPN thing gives it Hawaii 91.6% chance of winning. So it's kind of crazy what Central Arkansas is doing, you know, so far 3-0. They've beat some teams. So maybe they'll show up and beat Hawaii a little bit. Represent Arkansas. Well, all right, Chad. Anything else that you had on your mind that you wanted to talk before leaving us today? I know that I don't know how much we talked about Musselman and the Muss Bus, but he's doing some stuff that I'm liking, Hog fans are liking. Got anything to talk about with that?
Very excited about the Muss Bus. I was thinking about taking my kids to the red-white game at Barnhill.
Nice.
But it's free, but it's going to be packed. It's going to be hard to get in. So I made us opt out and wait for an exhibition game, but that's going to be a really, really cool experience. Also, baseball, we get a little scrimmage on Friday night, which is pretty cool, against Oklahoma.
Oh.
So, that's free, 7:30. So Friday night, pretty cool opportunity. I think the red-white game is actually the weekend of football's bye week. So I think he very intentionally did that. So
yeah.
Super smart on what he's doing over there. I think it's October 5th. So really cool. It'd just be cool just to kind of see. We have some familiar faces and some new ones. Really excited about is Isaiah Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Easily my favorite player. The smoothest jumper you will see this year, in this state anyway.
Yeah, but we need to soak Isaiah Joe in because we're going to miss him when he's not with us. You know, he's one of those players that don't take it for granted how good he is. He's really good.
Oh, yeah. I just want to watch him shoot. I mean, his form is perfect. I'm excited. I think it's going to be something different. And I think Hog fans need something a little bit different in basketball. So I loved Mike Anderson, but it's going to be exciting. So.
In a lot of ways, he's really doing things very, very different than Mike Anderson, just kind of in retrospect when you think about it. And I don't necessarily know if it's better or not. We'll see. Nope. I mean, he could be a terrible coach for all we know. Yeah. We don't know yet. I really think that's highly unlikely. He just seems like he's got it all together and seems very, just very professional with what he's doing, in my opinion. And just like, he just understands how to do things the right way to get fans going, to get people going. It's like he knows how to brand things well, and he also can probably back it up with coaching, and he's bringing in a lot of high-talented guys, it seems like. Somehow every week he's got a new hire that's like an ex-NBA player and just something neat. So I think we're expecting a lot from him. I think he's setting himself up for high expectations, and we'll see if he can deliver.
I'm excited. Thanks for having me, Tom.
Hey, one last thing. Razorback hockey. So just got a little bit of love from Razorback hockey's account today. They said they listened to our segment, and they were excited that they'll be playing in Nashville. So I'm pretty much obligated now because Razorback hockey's account called us out. So I'm gonna try to go to a game in Nashville at the end of the month. I think I'm gonna try to go to the game on Sunday. I believe we're playing MTSU. I think it's at 2:30. I can't remember. There's like a north and south rink, but anyways, I'm gonna be there unless something crazy happens in my life, and hopefully I'll be able to bring one of my kids with me. Hopefully that'll be fun. That'll kind of be her first sporting event, I think. So she'll have a blast, hopefully.
That's
but
awesome.
I have no idea how much it costs, if anything, but if anyone listening wants to come, hang out, see the game, we'll do it. Still learning a lot about the team. I know we won. I think we beat Nebraska last weekend. Yeah, looking good. I watched a little bit of that game. You can stream games for free. Just follow them on social media, and they'll post a link to like a free link. Yeah. It's just free. Just watch it. It's pretty neat.
And they're doing a cool little thing where they're like highlighting their players, so you get to know them a little bit better too. Of like doing like a player a week or a day or something like that. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool on their social media.
And I believe that none of these guys are on scholarship, any kind of, or for sure not a full paid scholarship. There might be some kind of small scholarship that they get, but most of these guys are just, if not all of them, are just playing just to do it. You know, they're good at hockey.
Awesome.
So why not do it? So, you know, these are our blue collar collegiate athletes, if we could call them something.
That's awesome.
Guys who are working hard for not a lot of fan love, but hey, this podcast, number one hockey podcast for Razorbacks.
Absolutely.
Self-proclaimed. Maybe one day we'll get a medal. I don't know. But
by the way, their gear is really cool too. I was looking at it online. They got some really cool gear out there.
Yeah, yeah. If the Arkansas Razorback people are listening, bring some jerseys to Nashville area. I think there might be just two people that might be interested, but we'll see. There, it seems like everybody wants one. I don't know. On social media, people are like, how do I get one? I don't know. No one can figure it out. So there might be a black market for that. So just figure it out. Figure it out, Arkansas Razorbacks.
My goal is to get to the Jones Center and watch them sometime soon. Take my kids too. I'll let you know. I'll let you know and get some pictures and all that good stuff.
Awesome. Awesome.
Cool.
Well, thanks for joining me this week, Chad. As always, did awesome, and hopefully we can beat San Jose State just easily.
That's what I'm talking about. Woo big, Tom.
Woo big. Now let's talk about our famous Arkansan of the week.
Oh, Arkansas. Oh, Arkansas. Arkansas, USA.
And this week, I've chosen a human, so a little bit different from weeks past. But this week, I'm going with probably one of the truly more famous people born in Arkansas, and that is the Man in Black. And I probably don't even have to say his name, and you all know who he is. That's how famous he is. Johnny Cash. The man, the myth, the legend. Some might not know that he was born in Arkansas, but of course he was. He actually was born in Kingsland, Arkansas, which is a tiny, tiny little town, and he was born on February 26th of 1932, but no one called him Johnny growing up. He was known as J.R., and he was His parents were both sharecroppers, cotton sharecroppers, and they moved in Dyess, Arkansas, D-Y-E-S-S, Arkansas, Dyess. They actually still have Johnny Cash's boyhood home in Dyess, Arkansas. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that exactly right, but it was a little colony of sharecroppers down that way, and, you know, that's what he knew. He was as poor as you could be. You know, that's the best way I can think to phrase it. I actually have some of my grandparents who grew up in that upbringing as well. And were sharecroppers. I don't know if they were cotton sharecroppers, but sharecroppers in Arkansas, you know, when you come from humble means, that's about as humble as you can get, and definitely shaped, Johnny Cash. And, you know, I know Arkansas is where he has a few songs that he talks a little bit about Arkansas, and you know that his upbringing really, really shaped him into the person he became, and really made him appreciate how hardworking people have to work, and out in those cotton fields, pulling cotton, picking cotton. Apparently, so the story goes, you know, as they were picking cotton, they actually sang a bunch of country songs and gospel hymns as they were picking out there. And that's kind of where he started that love of music. And, you know, as they were out there sharecropping and picking cotton, they basically had to do that all day. And, you know, Johnny Cash had a very tragic event happen to his older brother, where his older brother was killed in a table saw accident. And the family had to be out there picking cotton the next day. They didn't really even have time to mourn. And Johnny Cash later wrote, "Lest you get too romantic an impression of the good, natural, hardworking, character-building country life back then, remember that picture of Carrie Cash, Johnny Cash's mom, down in the mud between the cotton rows on any mother's worst day." And that was life, man. That was life for a lot of our family members back then, and how hard times were, you know, coming out of the Great Depression and things like that. And I know I have family that did that, and I know that their hard work has propelled me into the success that I have, and I'm thankful for that. And you know, I can't say that I ever did anything close to that with my hands, but I definitely have respect for that, and it shapes a person. And so, of course, you know, I don't need to go into all of Johnny Cash's life and, you know, his success. And, you know, he had to work hard for his success at the beginning. He did not have a silver spoon. He had to work and grind and join the military and do a lot of interesting things before he became famous. And, you know, I'm sure most of y'all know his story and his marriages and, you know, a lot of that good stuff. But he's just a neat Arkansan, has a neat story, a story of redemption, a story of success, failure, and then finding being restored, I think, at the end of the day. And it's a good time to remember Johnny Cash, as his death day was September 12th, 2003. So 18 years ago, just over 18 years ago, he passed away. And kind of in his honor, you know, I wanted to honor him with the Famous Arkansan of the Week. And I also wanted to share with y'all my personal top five favorite Johnny Cash songs. So I want to put Johnny Cash into your mind, into your head today, and go listen to some Johnny Cash in preparation for San Jose State. So let's start off the list with number five. Now, this one, I guarantee, is not one of Johnny Cash's most popular songs, but it's one of my favorites. It is "I Hung My Head." It's one of the songs that he recorded much later in life, and I think it just shows his storytelling ability and kind of what country music is at the heart of country music, is telling stories. You know, when you're listening to it, you can visualize everything about it. It's like watching a movie. And, you know, this is a sad song. There ain't nothing happy about this song, but I think it's one of my favorites. It just puts me into that story, and I think that shows his talent. Not one of his most popular songs, so if you've never heard "I Hung My Head," go listen to it. It's a great song. Now, number four, song everybody's heard, I guarantee, "A Boy Named Sue." Great song, really funny. Yeah, once you hear it once, you can't ever forget this song. It's so good. Just go listen to "Boy." It's such a good song. Number three, "Folsom Prison Blues." And for this song, I would recommend going and listening to one of the live versions of this song. It was one of his first songs he wrote, and you can just tell this was the song that showcased his talent and his spark and his relatability to kind of the more criminal or the more, you know, not mainstream type of person. He never wanted to appear slick or put together. You know, he wanted to appeal to those guys that had a little grit to them. You know, that's where the Man in Black came from. So you got to include Folsom Prison Blues on your top five list. Number two, going back to one of his newer songs again, When the Man Comes Around. I love this song because it kind of shows where he was at later on in life and the redemption story and just how he became, more spiritual in his life later in life. And, you know, it's a song talking about the end times if you're a Christian and how, you know, Jesus will come back and kind of take the world back from the evil that's in it. And just it's a neat spin on kind of a gospel idea, but of course it's got a lot of Johnny Cash in it. And he can't just sing something happy and something light. He's got to bring some depth and some grit to it. So I just always loved that song, When the Man Comes Around. And of course, y'all know which song I'm going with for number one, Ring of Fire. Come on, if you don't love this song, you're crazy. It gets everybody going. You know, you got to love the Mexican inspired trumpets at the beginning. It's so classic. And for some reason, you know, going into San Jose State Week, Ring of Fire should be the song we play. Let's as corny as this will sound, let's put San Jose State, you know, in the Ring of Fire, and let's toast them up and let's get a W this week. All right, folks, and now let's listen to the very first voicemail message recorded on the Hard to Be Humble phone line. Again, this is Andy from Memphis. He actually texted and submitted a voicemail. So, hey, Andy's going to be heard on the show. Thanks so much, Andy, for sending this in, and here it goes.
Hey, Tommy, this is Andy from Memphis. Just want to say I, too, will be happy to hear anything you have to say about Arkansas hockey. They started as a club sport a little over a decade ago. It's one of the most awesomest hockey sweaters out there. Tried to buy one, but couldn't find it anymore after the one time I saw it online. So if you see any, let me know. You said something about them playing Middle Tennessee, possibly in their conference. That's not too far away from me. Let me know if they're going to be out there. Also, let's beat Colorado State, and you're probably going to get sick of hearing from me. All right, bye.
Thanks, Andy. I'm excited about Razorback hockey as well. I do plan on trying to get to a game here in Nashville, I think on September the 29th. Let me double check that. Yes, on Sunday, September 29th. I believe the game is in the mid-afternoon, and I'm going to try to be there, and barring something crazy happening in my life, should be fun. Hopefully, I don't know if they bring jerseys to that kind of thing. You know, I feel like there's a few people that the jerseys might catch on, the hockey jerseys, so if any of the Arkansas Razorback hockey team is listening and they have any kind of connections with those jerseys, hey, let us know about it. You might get some sales. And of course, that phone number to tell y'all one last time is 615-392-0107. Of course, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at humble_podcast. That's humble_podcast. You can also find the podcast on Instagram at Heart to Be Humble Podcast. And you can also go to anchor.fm/hearttobehumble and support the podcast monetarily if you so choose, and help keep the mics on here and let me know that you are appreciating the content and want to hear more and more of it. You know, if it the more support this podcast receives, the more I know that people care about it and want to hear my voice and my thoughts more and more. But hey, regardless, if you ever do anything like that to this podcast, I appreciate you. I appreciate you letting me into your day today. I appreciate your time that you've invested with this. And, you know, I love all the support that you possibly can give. So thank you so much. And I want to leave one final message with you amazing Arkansas Razorback fans out there. As Mac Davis taught us so long ago, it can be really hard to be humble, especially when you beat Colorado State and you're an Arkansas Razorback fan. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Y'all have a great week. Woo pig. Beat San Jose State. Oh, yeah.